You said that Bill came to Philadelphia. Why did he come to Philadelphia?
Came to see me.
Oh, where was he living?
He was from Pittsburgh.
Oh, he was from Pittsburgh. Okay.
It's a Pittsburgh family, an old time.
Okay. And he met you at school?
He met me at school.
When he came back to visit?
And then he came to see me in Philadelphia. And that's how it was. So I came to Pittsburgh in summer.
Uh-huh.
And stayed with his family.
Uh-huh.
And I got to know everybody real fast because he had a big circle of friends, and it was the same thing that I had in Philadelphia. The people who went to Alderdice had this great big group, and they just did everything together. Knew each other's families and their parents. Their parents knew the parents of the other families. Yeah. It was really small town stuff, but it was wonderful because these friends have still lasted through all of my life here.
That's terrific.
So it's really lovely.
It is.
And their children are my children's friends. You know, it just goes on.
What did Bill do?
He worked for, I don't know if you knew the Can family.
Nat Can?
Not Nat Can. Dust Can and Bill Can.
They know the name.
They were in the steel business. They made a product.
How do you spell Can?
K-A-double-A. And Bill was a salesman. Marvelous.
What product did they make?
They made something that was used to clean steel. It was like a gravelly thing. And it was crushed. Some crushed metal. It was called, the company was called Pittsburgh Crushed Steel Company. And Bill went out and he sold that stuff to everyone. He sold it to people that didn't even need it. he was a super salesman. And so we had two children.
Give us their names.
Joel and Rosanne. R-O-S-A-N-N-E.
Your birthday?
Okay. Yeah.
Joel was born on the 22nd of January, 1945, and Roseanne was born on the 2nd of March, 1948.
I remember the
almost over.
I remember the name Roseanne Sverbel.
Do you remember?
I'd have to see the photograph.
But you do. You did know of her. Such a pretty name.
She had a column. She wrote a column in the Chronicle for a long time about teenagers and kids doing it.
Where did you live in Pittsburgh, you and Bill and your children?
First, we lived on Alderson Street in the apartment there. And then after Joel was born, and just about when I was still pregnant with Roseanne, we decided that that apartment just really wasn't big enough. And the war was still on. And it was impossible to find any place to live. So Bill put an ad in the paper, and it offered $50 and a bottle of scotch for a place to live. And we got, we didn't know which one to choose. Everybody wanted the scotch, because liquor was hard. We had coupons, you know, to get liquor, gasoline, sugar, oil, all those things.
I didn't know that liquor was part of that. Oh,
so
I see.
It was, so that's how we got our house on Bartlett Street.
Where did you live on Bartlett?
I mean, did you buy this house or?
No, we rented.
You rented the house.
And I come, it's between, it was the last block as you go into the park.
Oh, coming down from Whiteman Street.
From Whiteman and
beyond Murdoch.
Beyond
Murdoch, and you go into the park.
And,
Well, it would be in the 5200, something like that, I think. 5300, maybe.
No, I think it's even less than that.
Really?
Well, I just can't remember that time. But I know. I see the house all the time.
It was
a part of a row of houses. Flo and Irv Levitt lived down the street.
Right.
You know, it was there.
Nice.
The people that we saw at the junior congregation were all living around us. So. It was nice. It was great for the children. They went to Whiteman School.
Whiteman School.
Whiteman School, and then we bought our house on Whiteman Street when Roseanne was about 6 months old.
When she was 6 months old. So you lived in it a long time.
Yeah, 40 years.
How many?
40.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh. Children couldn't get over the fact that we were going to have this.
1151 Whiteman Street, right?
That's it.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see. What kind of Jewish traditions did you observe when you were the mother of the family and Bill the father?
I did everything that my mother did.
Uh-huh.
And I did everything that I learned at Temple. Everybody else did.
Did you join Road of Shoal congregation?
Well, Bill was confirmed there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So our children were confirmed there. And so there wasn't anything different.
Mm-hmm.
That I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't come up with
a
or anything like that.
I noticed. did you light Sabbath candles?
Always.
You did.
Oh, here they are. They're not here. I gave them to Joel. These were my mother's. And then
mm-hmm.
there's another set
mm-hmm.
that also brass
uh-huh.
that were from Bill's family.
Uh-huh.
And so Joel got those.
Were you married in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh?
Bill and I were married in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Ralph and I were married in our house.
In your house.
On Whiteman Street.
Uh-huh. I see.
It's a great party house.
It is. It really is. Your children went to Whiteman School, and then where else did they go to school?
Alderdice.
They went to Alderdice.
And Joel was tall. He was a big kid, because I was kind of leery of him going to Alderdice. I heard all these stories about the Greenfield kids
uh-huh.
and beating up these little kids and all. But he was tall enough to handle himself,
uh-huh.
so he was okay. But I will tell you a funny story. When I took him up to enroll him,
uh-huh.
the teachers were all sitting around in a sort of a semicircle. So I went to the first teacher and I told him who I was, and this is Joel Scherbel, and he's coming to school in the fall, and I just want to register. Guess who's here? Another Scherbel.
Oh.
Bill had a reputation at Alderdice for being a prankster. And every teacher there remembered him for doing something to torture him. Ringing bells.
Or Joel.
Making that Joel fell right into it. It struck me so funny.
It was interesting that he could go to the same school that his
yes.
father went to. There's
yes.
a kind
Bill
of
was in the first class that graduated from Alderdice.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he go on to did he graduate from Penn State also?
And so did Joel.
And Joel also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about Roseanne?
Roseanne went to Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
And then she did graduate work at Michigan. And then she did some more graduate work. She has, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 degrees.
Does she really?
Georgetown.
Does she?
A couple of masters.
In what field? What is her field?
She studied Spanish.
Uh-huh.
She was a Spanish head. And then she studied, then she taught English as a second language, and she developed some programs at Michigan for English as a second language.
Uh-huh.
She wrote a book on it.
Did she?
And then she went back to Washington and studied at Georgetown
uh-huh.
while she was teaching. She got a degree in Latin American affairs.
Uh-huh.
And all this all totaled up to her career.
What is she doing now?
Well, she was a reporter for The Voice of America.
Yes,
and she's
right.
still with The Voice, and she's now in the development department, which means she's out raising the money.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't like that as much as writing.
Yeah.
She loved the writing.
Uh-huh.
And Joel, what did he?
He's a lawyer.
And he's in Washington also. What sort of law does he practice?
What do you call it? Personal injury.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything. He deals, get back to the story. When he graduated from law school.
Where did he go to school?
To Pitt.
To Pitt. Mm-hmm.
Then he went to Washington, to Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was through with Vista, it was June, and he decided he wanted to go to Chile to ski. You've seen it on the television, the skiing and the world's...
Where did he want to go?
Chile.
Chile? I thought you said Chile. And he wanted to ski there.
There's a marvelous place called Portillo there. So he went off for 2 weeks to go skiing.
Uh-huh.
We put him on a plane with all the Republicans going to Miami to the Republican
convention.
Convention.
Uh-huh.
And he's going with the skis and the boots. They're going with their crazy clothes. Well, he didn't come back for 2 years.
Oh, he stayed in Chile.
And he studied the language, and he learned to speak it fluently. And he was there until Allende was deposed.
Okay.
And then he managed to get out. We were really scared at that.
Is that right?
We didn't know where he was.
Mm.
And but everybody said he knows how to take care of himself, don't worry. So he finally came back on the day of the Yom Kippur War. He arrived back in the States on the 5th of October.
What war?
The Yom Kippur War.
Oh, the Yom Kippur War. Yes, I see.
See, Ralph and I were married.
So
anyhow, his career has gone along with the Spanish. He only deals with Hispanic people.
I see.
And all his clients are Hispanics.
Uh-huh.
And he's, for the last 5 years, has been giving scholarships to Hispanic students so they can go to college.
That's right.
Great believer in education. And he's become well known in Washington for this work that he does.
So he's not with the bureaucracy. He's in
it. Oh, no, Joel could never sit behind a desk. I have letters from him where he says, "Mother, I can't do it. I can't sit behind a desk. I can't take orders from anybody. I have to be on my own."
Okay.
So he opened his own office, and he struggled and he struggled and he made it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. Is he married?
No, he's not. He's divorced.
Okay. Any children? How about Roseanne?
Roseanne has two children.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a boy from Dan's first marriage, who was 16. Roseanne's two boys are 8 and 5.
Uh-huh. But she has a stepson.
And she has a stepson. He's 16.
And her husband's name?
Daniel Klein.
And what does he do?
He is a computer freak of some sort. And he designs computer programs and HMO programs for the Bluecoats.
So they're a high, pretty high-powered, pretty high-powered couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, now I want to hear about your professional life in Pittsburgh, because I have admired it for a long time.
Let's see, when I first came to Pittsburgh, the first person I met, or one of the first people that I met, was Beattie Smith.
Uh-huh.
She and Bill and Howard and the whole gang all went to Alderdice and were confirmed together. Uh-huh. Bill took me over to her house to introduce me, and I can still see it. She's sitting, Beattie, if you knew her, was very quick.
Uh-huh.
She didn't waste any time.
I beg your pardon?
She didn't waste any time.
Oh, she was fast moving.
And she said, "What are you doing with yourself?" And I said, "Nothing yet." And she said, "Okay, you'll be the editor of the Ladies' Hospital Aid magazine." Okay, I don't know what it is, but it sounds to me like it's a good way to learn who's who in town.
Uh-huh.
So I did.
For the tape, we're going to say that the Ladies' Hospital
Aid Society was a Montefiore Hospital at the time.
Right. Okay. So, was an arm of Montefiore
Hospital.
The ladies.
They raised the funds to do all the extra things that Montefiore needed, and Beattie was the treasurer for years. And so that's how I got involved with the community.
Uh-huh.
And I started to know everybody's name. If I read the Chronicle and I did that book, I knew everybody's name. So, anyhow.
May I interject that Montefiore Hospital was the Jewish hospital
in
Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So go ahead.
And so then I had children. I didn't work. I didn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't do that in those days,
yeah,
it seems. And but I did a lot of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
When the women's division just got started.
Mm-hmm.
Um, I I worked for the symphony. I was raising money wherever I turned around. I was always raising money. Mm-hmm. And then I had the children, and I still wasn't doing anything that I can remember that was significant. And Bill died when he was very young.
Could you tell us about that a little bit? Are you able to tell us?
Okay. Sure. He had cancer.
He died of cancer.
Sure. And he was 38 when he died. Oh, he got it. He was, Roseanne was 5 years old and Joel was 8 years old.
Oh.
And he had this business that was very successful.
And was he then in the crushed steel, in the crushed steel business?
Still doing that. And on the, and also doing, I don't know, he did all kinds of sales jobs for other companies. He became a manufacturer's rep.
Rep.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to think of the word. And he had an office downtown, and when he was very sick, he wanted to know what was going on downtown, so I started going down to the office and I started learning myself. And when he died, we took him to New York to the
Sloan Kettering,
and he had all kinds of treatments for, you know, cobalt and everything. And he died at, I think it was Mercy Hospital, I forget. He was in and out of every hospital in the town.
Mm-hmm.
So when he died, I went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one of his friends, who was a customer, called me up and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm reading magazines." And he said, "Good." He said, "You just take a month off and study everything and learn as much as you can and then come see me."
So learn what?
Learn the business.
Oh, about?
From the things that Bill sold, I started studying the magazines and the catalogs of the business and the various businesses that he represented.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to see all of his old customers.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only woman that sat in the waiting room waiting for the purchasing agent at U.S. Steel. The only woman wherever, J&L, I went to all the corporations because they were all his customers.
Uh-huh.
And there just weren't women doing this kind of thing.
How did you feel while you were doing it? I'm just curious.
Oh, I didn't mind.
Were
if
you scared?
I met, I got, no.
You weren't frightened?
No. But if I made a sale, you know, and I got that purchase order in my hands, that was good.
Uh-huh. You weren't trembling and quivering and worried.
No, I just went and did it. And I went to see people that I knew because he entertained a lot of the purchasing agents were his age or a little bit older.
Uh-huh.
And they were just all old friends. There were some college friends amongst them. And they knew me and they knew what was going on. So they were very nice to me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But I still had to, it was a service business. I didn't have any stock or warehouse or anything like that. So it was a constant hassle with the manufacturers to get the orders out on time. And so that's the way it
did you work from your home?
No, I worked in the office.
In the office.
And I did that for 4 years.
Boy, I think it's remarkable that you stepped right in.
It was kind of fun. Actually,
uh-huh.
And I must tell you this, Rabbi Freehoff came to visit 2 days after Bill died, and I wasn't home.
You were working?
I was working. And my mother was visiting, and she really gave it to me when I got home. Rabbi Freehoff came and you weren't home. I said, well, I wasn't about to stay home and wait for Rabbi Freehoff to come call on me.
Uh-huh.
I'll see him some other time.
Uh-huh.
So I never played bridge, and I never played mahjong, and I never went out to lunch with the girls. I never did any of this.
You were a businesswoman.
Well, yeah, and it was hard for me to get used to doing it now that I'm retired.
Uh-huh.
Trying to make lunch dates is not easy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I understand what you're saying.
So
you did that for
four years, maybe six years.
Uh-huh.
And then a friend of mine was talking to a woman who was a founder, first year founder of the festival. The festival was then going into its second year.
Were you married at this time?
Yeah, I was married to Ralph.
Let's, maybe we can backtrack a minute.
Let's put Ralph in the picture and then we'll move on.
Okay.
After Bill died, it was 5 years.
5 years.
And I married Ralph Atlas.
Uh-huh. So what's the date?
May the 5th or 4th.
Not sure.
We're married 37 years.
70
years? I don't know. 58. Okay. 1958.
Okay. How did you meet him?
Well, Mildred Levy and Ruthie Hartz. Ruth Hartz? She has a sister that's a teacher.
Rose Hartz.
Rose Hartz. Right. Well, Rose Hartz's sister.
Ruth. Uh-huh.
And Mildred Levy knew Ralph because Dave Levy knew Ralph when he was in the service. He met him in Washington. Ralph was in the British Army during the war, and he was moved to Washington. So he knew him from that. And Ruth Hartz knew him because she used to play bridge with Ralph's first wife, who was in the same confirmation class with Bill Skirbel.
Oh, it is a small world.
Oh, it's God.
Oh, my word.
It was weird.
Uh-huh.
So they decided that Ralph should meet me.
Was he divorced?
No, she died.
Oh, she died also. Oh, I see.
He came here because she was very sick, and it was before the war was over. Uh-huh. And he got a transfer to Washington, D.C., and they moved here, and they moved there. And she was always sick.
Was she a Pittsburgher?
Yeah, she was. She was confirmed at Duke
what
Temple.
Was her name?
Gertrude Lowenstein.
Gertrude Lowenstein.
I know her. His first wife.
I see.
And he met her here when he was going to college.
He went
to CMU.
Okay.
And she went to Israel to get married before it was Israel.
Uh-huh.
And then he sent her home when the war started because it was dangerous.
Sure. Could you tell us something about his background, Paula?
Oh, it could take a year.
Maybe we should come back and do a tape of Ralph?
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
There is so much to tell about
I know he's a very colorful and interesting and dynamic man.
Roseanne has done 30 tapes on him.
Is that right?
She's been interviewing him. He stopped at the time of 1952, I think. He just stopped doing anymore.
He didn't
want to think about it anymore. Uh-huh. I think it was because he was always felt sad that he never went back to Israel, and he wasn't in Israel during the war.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to the arts festival.
Yeah, so what we'll do, supposing we come back and do Realm as a separate entity.
Let's finish you.
Okay, right, so then right. you had worked in your business for about 5 or 6 years.
Yes, right. And then this friend of mine gave my name to the lady who had started the festival the year before.
What was her name?
Barbara Widdows.
Barbara Widdows.
W-I-D-D-O-E-S. And she called me and she said, I heard a friend of yours that you're good at raising money and we need money. And why don't you come and do something for the festival and we'll pay you? So I said, well, I have a business and I'm sort of doing that. And she said, well, that's okay. You can take care of your business too, and you come work for us 3 months a year. So that's what I did. I went to the festival office for 3 months a year. I developed all the schedules and the plans and the setups and the filing and the whatnot, because they had just...
You set up the office.
Did you? Set up all the fundraising plans.
What's the official name of that festival?
Three Rivers Arts Festival.
Okay. And when did it start?
It started in 1960, so this was 1961 when I started with them. And I worked with them for 24 years.
Did you really? 3 months of the year?
No. Okay. After 3 months, it kept getting to 6 months. Donald Steinfurst was the executive director.
Uh-huh.
And our office was over in the boonies over there in some house near Highland Park. But anyhow, I went there every day, and it was 6 months, and then it was 9 months, and then it was a year. Before I knew it, I was working full-time, and I really wasn't taking care of the William Phillips Company, which was the name of Bill's company. So I just let it drift. And Joel didn't want it after, he said he wouldn't want it after he graduated from college, and, and Ralph didn't want it, and so I just let it. And then it got to be that it was a pointless kind of thing because times had changed and the manufacturers had changed and the whole setup was, was different in the business world. So I started working for the festival full time.
When you just worked 3 months, what 3 months were they?
It was the 3 months in the, for 3 months to, leading to the festival, into the festival.
It'll
so
be like
it was
April?
Like April, May, and June. April, May, and June.
The early summer months.
And then it got to be March, April, May, and June. Because there just wasn't time in order to build that festival and to have everything it needed. Just a couple months was just not enough. And volunteers were not available, so you had to pay somebody to do it. So that's how I got to.
So were you the only paid employee?
Well, Donna was the executive director before I came on the scene.
So you and Donald were the paid
for years. Yeah.
Could you tell us rather specifically the kinds of things you did? Could you really describe your job when you went to work in the morning? What did you do?
I never knew from day to day, if you want to know the truth.
What were some of the things you had to accomplish every year?
Well, there was always fundraising. There was public relations, there was writing, there were the newspapers to cope with, the development of the catalog for the festival. Just keeping in touch with a lot of people. And then I became the first class schnorrer of Pittsburgh. I was getting everything for nothing.
Were you?
That was terrible.
But the thing was, you weren't doing it for yourself.
No, I was doing it because I loved it, and then I was convincing somebody else that really it would be very nice if they supported the festival by giving us tables and chairs and whatever we needed at the moment. Letting us borrow something, or lending us a car, or you name it. I know where to get everything in town down to needle and thread.
In other words, you arranged for the setup, for the all the mechanics of it, all making it work.
Yeah.
How about the artists?
And then I also had to develop all the volunteer units because there were lots of people that wanted to be volunteers. There were a lot of organizations that wanted to be volunteers. Right. In those days, there were volunteers. Now you can't. Now there is no such thing as
volunteers. They don't have volunteers.
They just don't. Everybody's out. The younger people are not volunteers.
They're working.
They're all working. And that's how it started drifting away from volunteers to people that you had to pay to do a lot of the things that you used to get for nothing.
So how about the artists? Did you have anything to do with them?
No, I knew them all. I had to deal with them all. We developed the art.
Time? No, 2 minutes. Just 1 minute.
Well, we have another tape we can pop in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
The entry forms had to be developed. There had to be a search for. There were committees to do all these things, but somebody had to really.
You were the coordinator. And you did that for how many years?
23, 24 years.
Great. Okay,
on
this tape.
No, we just have 2 minutes.
How many?
2 minutes, but I was just warning.
Okay, 2 minutes. Do you have any relationship with the Three Rivers now?
Well, I'm on the board, but I really shouldn't be, because I don't do anything with them. The last 3 years, I haven't physically been able to do anything.
Right.
And the last time that I was there, I went down with some old friends, and we were walking around. It was nighttime, and I had such pains in my chest that I couldn't stand up. And they took me home, and the next day I was in the hospital, and I had a bypass.
Is that right?
And I haven't been there since.
I beg your pardon?
I haven't been there since.
Oh, well, I can
understand. I drive
around
to see it, but I don't walk through it if I can help it, because it's too much work.
Sure.
It's too tired.
Well, you made a name for yourself.
Still
became famous.
People are still calling me, calling me and asking me, how come I wasn't accepted at the festival this year? And I'm, oh my God, that woman has been crying the blues.
And she
for years, and she called me here
to complain.
To complain.
But she didn't get accepted.
Yeah, she didn't get accepted. And I'm awful sorry. I really don't. I don't know what to tell you except try again. I said Sam Rosenberg didn't get accepted either. If that'll help you.
There you are. Okay.